Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 30. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And Paul's Epistle of the Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The Lord wonderfully promised the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt that they should enter into the promised land of Canaan. And their soul's delight and longing was to be there, in that land that was so different from the wilderness journey, a land that flowed with milk and honey, and in that land there was much of the blessing of the Lord, of a wonderful provision for them. But when Moses came toward his end, the Lord had said that he should not lead the children of Israel into the land, but Joshua would. And the Lord wonderfully raised up Joshua for that end. And really, Joshua was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And he was to be used of God to bring them into Canaan. Well, back in the book of Numbers, we find the Lord speaking to Moses concerning them going to spy out the land. And there were 12 men that were to be sent forth to spy out the land of Canaan. And this was under commandment of God. And of those 12, one of each tribe of the children of Israel, there were only 2 out of the 12 that brought back a good report. And they were Caleb and Joshua. And the others brought back an evil report. And the difference was, by those 2 being so different from the others, was because the Lord had given them wonderful faith. You see, the 10, they looked at all the impossibilities there were in the land. And really, we've no stones to cast at them, have we? We're so often like that, if we know our own hearts, looking at the things that are impossible. But you see, Caleb and Joshua were blessed with a wonderful grace, the grace of living faith. So as they went into the land, they saw exactly the same as the other 10 did. And what did the other 10 see? Well, they saw that there were many walled cities, such as Jericho. They saw there were many giants in the land. They saw many impossible things that they felt they could not encounter. But we see too, we read, and the Amorites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And they said, well, these are all stronger than we are. They will destroy us if we enter such a land. And then we read, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, there we have what they viewed. And let me bring it home to you and to me this morning. There may be many things in your soul, in your pathway, and mine, that look like giants, many walled cities, many mighty men that would overthrow us. We think too of the nation, really. Many impossibilities, many giants, many obstacles in the way, but they got to enter into the land under commandment of God. He had promised it to them. But you see, with Caleb and Joshua, they saw these things, but what did they do? They looked above them all to him who was able to overcome them for them. You know, we are told in this chapter in Hebrews, it's been read many, many times, and it's a wonderful chapter of all those that died in faith. And let us just pause before we look at the text to consider a few things. Firstly, what is faith really? Well, the apostle describes it very beautifully here, doesn't he? He says at the commencing of the chapter, now faith is the substance, or the margin says, of ground or confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And you know, there's some wonderful aspects to living faith, isn't it? First, it's the gift of God. Secondly, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is why the world and the ungodly and the professor of religion that's lacking faith can never please God. Or you and I, unless we are called by God's grace. It's impossible, because without faith it's impossible to please God. We may do many things that are pleasing to man, but have we that living, vital faith the substance of things hoped for. Let us just look at faith for a few moments. If we've got living, vital faith in our souls, all our hope, all our salvation will be in the dear Redeemer. It's in Him we trust, in Him we believe, in Him we hope. And you see, if there's living faith in gracious exercise, doesn't matter how small that faith is. The Lord Jesus spoke of it, didn't He? If ye had faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now in the East, the grain of mustard seed is one of the smallest grains of all, for smallest seeds of all that there are throughout the Middle East. If ye had faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye would say to this mountain, depart into yonder hence, and it will be done. So I know what some of you say, if only I knew I had a grain of it. Faith is the subject of things hoped for. Are there not those things, and put it simply, you hope for, you hope to be with the dear Redeemer in glory at last. And if the Lord has given you that sweet hope, it's an evidence you've got faith. Think of what David said in Psalm 42 and 43. When he was ever so cast down and he wondered whether he got any faith at all, and beset with many dangers and beset by many enemies, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? But he didn't leave it there, did he? We're often mourning because we're cast down. Why art thou disquieted within me? But he goes further. And here's where faith was in gracious exercise in David. What does he say? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. It's no use you hoping in self, is it? It's no use you hoping in any man. It's no use you hoping in your own works like many do. Hope thou in God. And that's what faith will enable you to do. Hope in God. And then faith goes further. The subjects of things hoped for. For I shall yet praise Him. That is faith in gracious exercise. Believing in God. What did the dear servant of God, Philip, say to the eunuch when they came to that certain water and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And what did Philip say to him? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And that's what faith will do. It'll believe in the dear Redeemer as your only hope, your only salvation. Without Him, we perish must. And what did David go on to say? I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. All his salvation was in the Lord. And there's the sinner can rest. Salvation. O my soul, rejoice. To be found with a grain of this faith the Lord gave, as we read in the lesson, to the dear servant of God, Joshua, and to to the people. Now, there were these great walls around Jericho, and what does our text say? By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now we read in the lesson, didn't we, how they were instructed how to compass those walls. You see, for them to enter into Jericho, it was impossible, naturally. There were these great walls round the city. And it was not just a flimsy wall. I understand in some of the histories of Jericho, you know, the walls were wide enough to drive a carriage and horses round the top of them. So they were wide walls. Men would have said, well, they could never fall down. And they couldn't, according to man. But you see, what were the children of Israel instructed to do? The Lord told Joshua exactly what to do. They got to, first of all, compass the city once a day for 6 days. Once every day they'd got to go right round that city. Now remember, in that city were the enemies of Israel, God's people. The persecution they endured from them. The gunshot of hell that they fired at Israel. They were enemies to God and enemies to the children of Israel, the inhabitants of Jericho. The persecution they endured from them. But the Lord told them, now you go round that city, right round it. It was no use going halfway or just what they thought. It says here, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. They had to obey, and let us just pause a moment, they had to obey what the Lord told them. You know, there's a wonderful word, isn't there, be ye as obedient children. They got to listen to the Lord and not listen to any man. And they were to compass them for these 6 days. But on the seventh day, which many believe was the Sabbath, and on that Sabbath day, they got to compass it about 7 times. So they were to go round it 6 times, but then on the seventh time, the Lord told Joshua exactly what they got to do. And all the priests had got to have a ram's horn. And as soon as they did it the seventh time, they got to sound that trumpet of the ram's horn. And then at the commandment of Joshua, they got to shout. It was all to be done 7 times. You know, there's so many records throughout God's holy word, isn't there? And you young ones can look it up, and it's quite interesting, really. 7 is a complete number. It's a wonderful number, 7 is. We're favoured with 7 days in the week, aren't we? And this is what they had to do. But on that seventh day, the Lord was to work. But they got to do it seven times that day. You know, we may say, well, how could we do it once, let alone seven times right round the city? But they had to obey God's command. And as soon as the trumpet sounded, and the servant of God said to them, shout, what happened? The walls just fell down. Oh, they did. They just fell down. With men it was impossible, but not with God. And immediately they could go in and destroy the whole city. Oh yes. The enemies, you see, of the truth had got to be put down, and the Lord was to do it. If thou canst believe, Jesus said at the grave of Lazarus to Martha, remember he'd been in the grave 4 days. She says, by this time he stinketh. If thou canst believe, Martha, all things are possible to him that believeth. And she was to believe the Saviour would raise him up. And as he raised up Lazarus, so here he caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. And why did they fall down? Well, our text says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They just fell down. And maybe those of you today that have got great walls before you, have you a grain of faith to believe they will just fall down before Almighty God? Because that's what the walls of Jericho did. They were far greater maybe than your walls or mine, but they just fall down. Well, I want to look a little as helped at the little of this inexperience. There may be those walls that you have got. Today, I may not name them, but they're all known to the Lord. Well, they are. Just as Jericho's walls were all known to the Lord, every stone in those walls, every rock, every piece of mortar was all in the Lord's hand. And he was to cause it to fall down because the Lord had given to Joshua and to the people faith to believe the Lord would do it. And no one felt when this text came the great need of living vital faith. You go back through this chapter and you look at all those that died in faith. The Lord gave them that faith to believe in him. And not only to believe in him, but to rest wholly upon him for their soul's salvation. But there's another aspect. They were to look to him. There's no doubt, we don't want to speculate in that. I want to be very careful, because that's what natural man would say. But you see, there's no doubt as they went round those walls, what was faith doing in them? It was looking heavenward. Oh, it was. You know, if we got a grain of living faith, the Lord will give us that eye of faith to look wholly to him. It was no use them looking to Joshua. It was no use looking to those men of war that were among them. They got to look to the Lord. Now, if you've got a grain of living faith with these walls you've got, where are you looking? Where am I looking? Look to Jesus. Mercy flows through his precious blood. Look to him. As the hymn writer said concerning the children of Israel when they were serpent bitten, dying sinner, look and live. So if faith is in gracious exercise, you'll be looking heavenward. I love that couplet of the hymn, and the Lord spoke it to me many years ago as I came out of Forest Gate Chapel. Keep your eyes on Jesus fixed, and there your hope to stay. His goodness he will make to pass before you in the way. And when you look at these dear souls as they went round that wall, to keep looking unto the Lord, and he was to make his goodness pass before them, wasn't he? He was to overcome the walls that surrounded the city. And he can overcome those that may be surrounding you today. Well, what about these walls? Think of the great wall of unbelief there is in us. You know, if we are well exercised in our souls, unbelief will plague us. And when unbelief is plaguing us, we cannot believe, can we? We need the Lord to cause that wall of unbelief to fall down. The hymn writer said, didn't he, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. And there may be one here this morning, if unbelief seems to plague your poor heart. And oh, that the Lord would cause that wall to fall down. Think of the dear man in Mark chapter 9 when he brought his son to the Lord Jesus. And he said to the Saviour, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But what did Jesus say to him? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, there's one of our hymns, I can't remember the number, but it speaks of all these ifs, you know, that Satan brings into the heart of the child of God. And think of that, dear man, if thou canst do anything. There was a measure of doubt in the dear man's heart whether the Lord would do it. But what did the Lord do? He took that if and he put it right back on the man's head. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And what did the dear man say? And you see there how the wall of unbelief fell down in that dear man. And he said with tears, that speaks of a real broken, contrite heart, humbled by the Lord, faith given, the wall of unbelief fell down. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And what did it do in the dear man's heart? caused that wall of unbelief just to fall down. And you know, when the Lord appears, he will cause that wall of unbelief just to fall down. Oh, he will. And you'll stand amazed, like they, there's no doubt they stood in amazement and wonder as they saw this great wall around the city just fall to the ground. And you'll stand amazed as you see the great wall of unbelief fall down. You know, when we're dead in trespasses and sin, in our unregenerate days, we're full of unbelief, aren't we? Like Saul of Tarsus was. He had a lot of religion. But was steeped in unbelief until the Lord appeared and he caused that wall of unbelief to just fall down. And he could fall under it and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? All his hope, his salvation, was in the dear Redeemer. The unbelief. But you'll be plagued with it, poor soul. Right till you breathe your last breath, and so will I. And there'll be many times where unbelief seems to take us over. We're full of doubts. We're full of fears. But the Lord knows how to remove it. And when he appears like he did for these dear people, that wall will just fall down. It'll be as simple as that. But Almighty God must do it. By faith, the walls of Jericho, those great walls, all those watchtowers round, on those walls were just to fall down before the majesty of heaven. Then another very great wall that you may have be the great wall of sin. Lord, however can this great wall fall down? It is a great wall to a real child of God. And the devil will remind you of all those sins of youth, sins of thought, sins of word, sins of action, sins in our steps, sins of our most holy things. I love that prayer we sing in that beautiful hymn, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Take away the love of sinning. And you know, the dear hymn writer, he knew what it was for the Lord to cause that wall of sin to fall down. You think in your heart this morning, oh, there's all this sin in me, Lord. I'm a sink of sin, like the hymn writer said, and unbelief. It's a great wall. You cannot overcome it, can you? Let's be very clear. Those dear children of Israel could not overcome that wall of Jericho. It was only their God that could cause it to fall down. You cannot overcome that great wall of sin that troubles you. He doesn't trouble the world. He doesn't trouble man by nature. But it troubles the child of God. And it's a great wall. Sometimes you feel it's like a mountain before you. What has the hymn writer said? The more I strove against sin's power, I fell and stumbled, but the more. And oh, the dear hymn writer knew it, didn't he? So beautifully, but he didn't leave it there. The Lord was to cause that wall to fall down. And what does he say? Till light I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. And when he shows you he's the way, poor soul, all that wall will just fall down. Oh, it will. And that's a blessed place to be in, you know, when the wall falls down, that wall of sin. And what will there be? Well, like with the children of Israel, as soon as the wall fell down, the enemies were to flee and be destroyed. As soon as the wall falls down of your sin, what'll be the effect? It'll be liberty, freedom, all the bondage will be gone, and your soul is set at large, blessed place. You know, they got something to praise the Lord for when those walls fell down, and so will you. And you think of those in the sacred word of God. Well, let me just use a brief illustration, then I must leave it. But you think of those in the word of God. Sin was such a mountain to the publican, the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Oh, the sin in them. It plagued them. It was like a great wall and they couldn't remove it. The dying thief lived a life of sin. But the wall was to fall down. And what a cause that wall to fall down. Well, the Lord's a sovereign how he does it. In the experiences of his dear children, he may say to you this, and may the Lord whisper it to some poor seeking soul this morning that's got this great war of sin. Son or daughter, thy sins, not somebody else's, thy sins be forgiven. And that wall will just fall down. Oh, the blessed application of that word. Oh, it will. Just as the trumpet sounded from those priests, those ram's horns, as they were to blow them, the wall was just to fall down. There's a lesson here I must just name. You know, they were to be silent until the Lord was to tell them through Joshua to shout. But they got to be silent until. Hadn't got to be anything said. And you know, often a real mourning, weeping soul may not be able to say anything to man or speak at all. They talk to the Lord though. And they wait for the wall to be put down by him. Fall down. And then they can speak, can't they? Because they got something to speak about. How the wall's fallen down. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. That's not my word, it's what the Lord has said. And the apostle took it up beautifully, didn't he? They just fell down when they were compassed about 7 days. And what a day it must have been, mustn't it? When you think of the dear dying thief, when he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, he acknowledged his sin and guilt. You know, I often think of that dear man, you know. He was so different than the other, and we see there the solemnity of it. One was to be cast into eternal damnation, the other into eternal life. But that dear man, to enter into eternal life, was brought to two things. One was to feel the sin within him and the lead of the Lord to remember him. And the other was the Lord had given him faith to view what there was in the dear Redeemer, because what did he say? He acknowledged that they were receiving the just reward due to their sin. But when he looked at the Lord Jesus, what did he say? But this man hath done nothing amiss. He saw the blessed perfection there was in the dear Redeemer, and that salvation alone was in him. Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And what did the dear man say, the dear Redeemer say? To the dear man, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. The wall had fallen down. Well, I must leave it because of the time. May the Lord come over the poverty of my poor rambling remarks. Amen.